Now, if you would please open your Bibles with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2. We'll begin reading in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, and we'll read through verse 20. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 20 and the response to our Lord and Savior's birth. But as we come to God's Word, let us first come to Him in prayer. Let us ask His blessing upon the reading and preaching of it. Let us pray. Our God, we ask that You would open our hearts. We confess that we come often cold. We come from the world, and we come from many distractions. And now we desire to come to hear You speak to us. And so calm our minds, take away the thoughts of all of the busyness of this time of year, and help us to direct our thoughts to You, and especially to the Lord Jesus Christ, that in Him we might see this great joy that has been given to us. We pray in His name. Amen. So then now in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we're going to be focused on joy, on really the joy of Christmas and how joy is expressed. And you'll see the title of the sermon is A Not-So-Silent Night, because there is a lot that is going on this night, and there is a lot of vocalization of it, and which is a good thing. But as I thought about excitement, and especially some of the excitement that we have during this time of year, I thought about the excitement that you children are going to have. Now, you children are going to have some excitement tomorrow, aren't you? You're probably ready to go. You know what's going to happen, right? Presents. And so I think if you want to see a child's eyes light up, then wait till after tomorrow and ask them, "What did you get for Christmas?" Because you're going to see that expression on their face, the joy of receiving a gift. Especially if it's something that they've waited for a long time. They're gonna beam, and they're going to want to tell you about it. And we're the same way, aren't we? When we receive a gift, everybody loves to receive gifts. I don't know anybody that doesn't. But when we do, we want to tell people about it. We want to thank the giver, and we want to tell people what we've received. And that's a natural thing because we have joy. It would be strange if someone asked you, what did you receive for Christmas? And you said, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Christmas was horrible, and I don't want to talk about anything I received. You'd think, wow, I do not know what happened to this person. But that doesn't sound normal. No, we want to express those things. We want to thank the giver, and that joy that we have often spills over as we express it to other people. Now, the gift that we're talking about tonight, though, is not a gift, but the gift. If you saw my notes here, you would see the gift is in capital letters. The gift. Now, how do we respond to the gift? Now, if we get excited over gifts that we receive on Christmas, and I know that you children will tomorrow, you'll get excited. If we get excited over things that are perishable, things that are made out of plastic, most of them, things that you may not even care about a year from now, if we get excited over those things and we want to tell people about them, don't you think that we should at the very least, be much more excitable and excited about the gift that never perishes, the Lord Jesus Christ? We should. Let me tell you what this gift means. This gift means for those who receive it by faith, the certain forgiveness of sins. The beginning of new life. The defeat of Satan. Freedom from hell and the assurance of eternal life in God's presence where, as we read in Psalm 16, is the fullness of joy forevermore. Now we hear that a lot and we can become comfortable with it. And we can lose joy because we're not really seeing it for what it is. And I hope to bring that out a bit tonight. And I hope that as you leave here, you leave with great joy and great rejoicing. Because that is what we have presented to us in the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever let the birth of Christ become commonplace. Don't ever let that happen. As we come to this section of Luke, we have seen that Joseph and Mary have arrived in Bethlehem. Jesus has been born. He's been wrapped in swaddling cloths. There was no room at the inn, and he is laid in a manger. And we're told that there are shepherds in the field. They're keeping watch. And as you think about these shepherds, they were probably about a couple of miles from Bethlehem. They were out in the fields, and they had the night watch. They were like the night guardsmen for the sheep. Nothing is going to happen to the sheep. Nobody's going to come and steal them. We're out there tending the flocks. And silence rested upon the earth for a while, but it didn't remain, did it? And we do have the song, Silent Night. And we think of a silent night. But think about this. Silence rested for a moment, but then look at what happens. We see in verse 8, these shepherds were out in the country. And if you've ever been out in the country, you know that it can be silent. But the first thing that happens is light breaks in. We see a transition here. They are watching over the flock by night in verse 8. And then behold, in verse 9, the angel of the Lord stood before them and what? The glory of the Lord shone around them. So the first thing that happens is there's a transition from darkness to light. But the second thing that happens is there's a transition from silence to heavenly sound. Beginning with an angel speaking to them from heaven. And continuing with angels gathering together and glorifying God. You see this great transition that happens. Why though? Why? To bring a message of joy to God's people. And that's the joy that I want to remind you of tonight. And I want you to see that great joy will always result in great rejoicing. Great joy will always result in great rejoicing. And that's what we see here. We're going to see great joy, this message of joy come, and we're going to see both angels and shepherds rejoicing over it. And I hope that as you are gathered here tonight, that you will join in the chorus with the angels, that you will join in the chorus with God's people and express that joy. Well, the first thing I want to look at is this night of great joy. Why is it a night of great joy? Well, it's a night of great joy because God's presence has come to men. What did we read earlier in Psalm 16? In your presence is fullness of joy. Now, what do we see in the Lord Jesus Christ? We see this announcement being made in verse 10 by the angel. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And what is that message? That message is that Christ, the Lord, has come, who is the Savior. And so the greatest joy that can ever be found is found in one place only. And that's in the presence of God. That's the greatest joy that can ever be experienced. The fullness of joy is found in the presence of God. But here is the wonderful thing. God doesn't say, okay, here's joy, and the fullness of it is found in my presence, but you can never get there. God invites His people to enter into His presence. This is amazing. Look at the invitation here. The invitation by the angel. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, this is an invitation that is being addressed to the shepherds, but it's not simply for them. It's not as if God decided to choose a few shepherds out in the field outside of Bethlehem and say, I'm going to send this message of joy to you. But notice what the angel says in verse 10, right before that. These good tidings of great joy will be to all people. All people. Now what is he saying here? Saying, no matter your background, no matter your race, no matter if you're a Jew, no matter if you're a Gentile, no matter your status, no matter if you're rich or poor, it doesn't matter. The gospel is going forth. Think about the hymn that talks about the work of Christ going out as far as what is found, as far as the curse is found. As far as the curse is found. And the curse is found everywhere, isn't it? So this message of joy goes out to all people. But it comes through one person. It goes out to all people, but it comes through one person. And as the person identified here, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Born to you. Here is almost a New Testament echo of both Genesis 3:15 and Isaiah 9 verse 6. Remember Genesis 3:15? That promise of the gospel? That right after sin entered the world, God said, I am going to send a Savior. The seed of the woman who will what? Who will bruise the head of the serpent. And in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, unto us a child is born. And here we have that same idea. For there is born to you this day in the city of David who? A Savior. One who will redeem His people from their sins. A Savior. He is the Anointed One. Christ is that Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. He is the one who is anointed by God to do this, to be the Savior. And He is the Lord. The one who is the ruler over all things. Now what a message that is given. But God goes on through the angel and tells them, not only is this one born to you, but here's where to find Him. This is amazing. God does not leave us in the dark when it comes to salvation. He doesn't say, I'm going to make salvation possible, but then you just need to figure it out. This isn't a salvation treasure hunt. No, God says, this is where you're going to find salvation. Born and you will find Him wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. You know, God wants His people to find the joy of salvation. In fact, as God's kingdom grows, one of His purposes in bringing about the growth of His kingdom is joy. Paul in Romans, in chapter 14, and verse 17, Paul says this, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. The kingdom of God is not about this world, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Righteousness that comes from Christ alone, peace with God and with others, and joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. But what does this joy look like? What does this joy look like? Well, Jesus gives us a bit of an understanding later on in his ministry about this joy. It is a present joy. This isn't a joy that you have to wait for. This is a joy that you can experience now. Jesus in John in chapter 15, verse 11. He says this, in speaking to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." This is a joy that you may experience today in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is a joy that is not one that stays where it's at. It is an increasing joy. Paul recognizes this as he writes to the church in Philippi in Philippians chapter 1. You know, Paul is wrestling with this idea. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I don't know if it's better if I die or stay here because I want to be with my Lord. But then he goes on and in Philippians chapter 1 verse 24 he says, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul was always thinking about other people. "It's more needful for you that I remain." Why? "Because I am being confident of this, and I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." Paul says here, listen, this joy that you have in Christ through the ministry that I'm going to provide to you is going to increase. It's going to grow. So not only is this joy something you can experience now, but it is an increasing joy and it is an unending joy. It will never end. Jesus says these words as he pictures himself, the Lord, in a parable in Matthew 25. He talks about those who were given the talents. And they came to the master and they said, "I have done this with what you gave me." And what does he say to the one with five that he turns it into ten? He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Enter into the joy of your Lord. Not necessarily the Lord's joy over what you have done, but enter into the joy that you are going to experience from your Lord. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now, how then does this joy come about? Do we just sit back and automatically receive joy? Well, God tells us how we can increase in joy. Listen to this. Jesus, in John chapter 16 and verse 24. And speaking of prayer, he says this, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive." Why? "That your joy may be full." See, here Jesus ties prayer to joy. Now, why is prayer tied to joy? Well, I think it makes sense, isn't it? What is prayer but being in the presence of God? We come to God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're in His presence. And He says, "You come in prayer, and you ask of me, and you will receive that your joy may be full." And so I think prayer is a crucial element of entering into the fullness of joy because it is found in His presence. So this is what is promised to God's people, this joy that comes through Christ. And I want to encourage you because it does not matter. It does not matter what else is going on in your life. Now hear me. It does not matter. This fact does not change. Jesus has come. And if you have come to Him through faith, then you have certainty that your sins are forgiven. You have certainty that you are given new life. You have certainty that Satan has been overthrown, that the freedom from hell is yours, and that you have assurance of eternal life. You have these sure promises from God. But you must seek that joy. And the danger is that we attempt to find joy in other places, don't we? We set up counterfeit sources of joy, which can never really satisfy. We become what we might call joy hoppers. We hop from one source of joy to another. And we use that source of joy until it runs out. And then we say, well, that didn't satisfy, so let me go to the next one. Well, don't be a joy hopper. Don't hop around from this joy to that joy thinking it will fulfill. Because this is the only place that true joy is found, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that. Because once you find this joy, you will not ever want to leave it, because it is the joy that will last forever. Everything else, even like those gifts that you'll receive tomorrow, are only going to last for a short period of time. Some, if you're receiving candy, are not going to last very long, at least not in my house. They bring a temporary joy, but not eternal joy. But this is where eternal joy is found. But great joy always leads to great rejoicing, and that's what we see here. They have this night of great joy, this announcement that the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior who is the Lord, has come. But we see two things here. We see heaven cannot keep silent, and humanity cannot keep silent. Look at this. As soon as this message is brought, heaven proclaims God's glory. In verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now there are two things that I want you to see that heaven does and that humanity does. Witness and worship. Isn't that what the angels did? They first came and they witnessed about God. Verses 10 and 11. These are the good tidings of great joy, for there is born to you, and this will be the sign to you. That's the witness. This is what the angels were instructed to do. In Hebrews, in chapter 1, verse 6, we read this. When he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. This is what angels, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:12, desired to look into. They were interested in what God was doing. And here they have witnessed to it. And they worship God for it. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Not just one angel. Not just two or three. Remember, it took two or three to witness to any event. Here is a multitude of angels worshiping God. We have the text here, but imagine what those shepherds were experiencing. Seeing those angels. Those who stand in the presence of God. And what is amazing here is that the angels who never fell from God's grace, who never needed a Savior, are worshiping the Savior. Now, how much more so should we, who are in desperate need of a Savior, who have fallen from God's grace, come and worship Him? We ought to. And we see that with the shepherds. The heaven cannot keep silent, and neither can the shepherds. They also witness and they worship. Look at verse 17. After they go and they enter into the presence of Jesus. Again, joy tied to the presence. They enter into His presence, and then when they had seen Him, verse 17, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They could not keep their mouths shut about Jesus. They had an experience. They didn't just hear the words of the angels, although they did. They went and they saw Jesus Himself. The one in whose presence is fullness of joy. And they come away from that encounter and they tell everyone they could about Jesus. Now, that's your job description too. If you have witnessed by God's grace and His Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are to be a witness for Him. I hope that you go out of here and you want to tell others about what He has done for you. That's why we need to be reminded about what He has done for us. We are to be a witness not only to our neighbors, but the church is to be a witness to every nation. every nation as we go forth. We ought to be so zealous to share about Jesus Christ that people get annoyed. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and annoy people. But let me ask you this, would people know that you're a Christian? Would people know that you care that apart from Christ, they are headed to hell? Because that's the reality. And that's the challenge, isn't it? Because you see, we can become so comfortable. And we can even lose this experience of joy that we fail to share it with others. Now, the shepherds, they had this immediate experience and they went out. And we have had this great experience. We know the Lord Jesus Christ, but has your joy dwindled? Because if you're not full of joy, it's going to be very hard to overflow with joy, isn't it? What's the remedy for that? Well, we need to continually fill ourselves with joy that comes from being in the presence of God. It goes back to prayer and worship, doesn't it? We need to be in God's presence. We need to receive so we can go out and give to others, because you cannot give to others. You cannot express to others a joy that you don't know. But when you have that joy welling up in you, how can you be silent? The angels could not be silent here. The shepherds could not be silent. And they only had the cradle. John Calvin says this, "If the cradle of Christ had such an effect upon them as to make them rise from the stable and the manger to heaven, how much more powerful an effect ought the cross of Christ to have on us, upon whom the end of the ages has come?" It ought to. And so I think this is the importance of regular worship. We gather together, why? We gather together to be in the presence of God, to receive from Him, to remind one another, to encourage one another, to sing to one another with hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, to rejoice in what He has given to us so that we can go out and we can share that joy with others. But I also want to encourage you not only to come together as God's people, but to worship God in and throughout every day of your life. Now, do you do that? You may say, well, I have a regular time of reading God's Word, and I pray, and that's wonderful, but do you just spend time worshiping God? Do you just spend time telling Him how wonderful and glorious He is? Because that's what we need to do every day of our lives. That is drawing near to God, and what does He promise? He will draw near to you. Your joy will increase, and you will be one who expresses joy to others. And I do want to deal with one thing, though. There's a danger here, because you may not feel very joyful. What do you do when you don't feel joyful? When you don't feel like praising God? We've had a lot of very difficult circumstances this year, just in our local church. What do you do with that? Do you just fake it? I'm facing a difficult circumstance, but I'm just going to fake the joy? No, don't do that. God knows your heart. He knows what you're struggling with. You can't fake joy. But what I want to do is point you to two things. One, be honest with God in prayer. God, I don't feel joy. In fact, I feel the opposite. My feelings are this. And then you come to God and you choose to praise Him based on facts, not feelings. You choose to praise Him based upon what He has said and done, not what you feel. That's important. It's important to understand. You see, meditation upon what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ, the very thing that we are meditating upon tonight, His birth. And of course, that points us to His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, His enthronement upon high in heaven. All of this is something that is fact, that God has done for His people. And so the joy that we experience is not based upon your feelings. It goes deeper than your surface feelings. It goes to a place where your feelings cannot even touch. It is a deep-seated joy. So remember this, your joy is not dependent upon what is being done to you. Your joy is not dependent upon what is being done around you. Your joy is not dependent upon what you have done in your past. Your joy is not dependent upon what you may or may not do in your future. Your joy is dependent upon one thing, what God has done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's something that will never change. That's something that will never be taken away. And so what does that say about your joy? If that's something that will never change and will never be taken away, can your joy ever change or ever be taken away? Absolutely not. Whether you feel like it or not, it doesn't matter. That's that deep-seated joy. And that is the joy that these angels, that is the joy that these shepherds are demonstrating. They are looking at the beginning of God's fulfillment of His promise. But we have seen so much more, haven't we? We have seen the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, His miracles, His death upon the cross, His resurrection, His ascension. We know that He is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. We know that He is praying for us, interceding for us. And we know that He is returning for us. 1 Peter 1:8 says this, "Though now you do not see Him," speaking of Christ, "yet believing you rejoice," listen to this, "you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." What is joy inexpressible and full of glory? Joy that cannot even be expressed needs to well up inside of us. Wow. Should our response not be the same as the angels and the shepherds who witnessed to others of this joy, who worshiped God in thanksgiving for this joy? That should be our response as well. In fact, when you think about it, what we are doing here tonight, and as we are going to, in a few moments, stand together and sing God's praises, we are joining with the angels. We are joining with the saints in heaven. And we are glorifying God together. That's an amazing thought. So tomorrow, let me say this, no matter what gifts you get, no matter what gifts you open, now children, if you get two large bags of coal tomorrow, and nothing else, it really wouldn't matter when it comes to joy. It really wouldn't matter. Because the greatest gift has already been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. This gift that we're told by the angels is good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. What did Jesus say? "Come to me, all who are heavy laden. Come to me, all who labor. Come buy wine and milk," the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55, "without cost." Now, it doesn't mean that it didn't cost God everything. But what it means is it cost you nothing. What a great exchange. It costs you nothing and you get everything. Joy inexpressible and full of glory in the presence of God through Christ. So I want to encourage you, go to bed tonight with a smile on your face. Wake up tomorrow with a smile on your face. Speak this truth to one another. The shepherds spoke that to one another, didn't they? They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. You can imagine that conversation on the way back to the fields. That's the conversation you need to be having with one another tonight, tomorrow, and not just during Christmas, but all throughout the year. That's what's going to build up joy. And people, I hope, will ask you when they see that smile, when they see that joy, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, why are you so happy? And here's how I want you to answer them. I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I am beyond happy. I am joyful. And let me tell you how you can experience this same joy. Let me tell you how you can do it. You know, that's why God has redeemed you, to be a witness to others and to worship Him. And remember this, you can do neither of those by remaining silent. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we praise you and thank you for the great gift that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess that often we have read of His great work and we have had less than a joyful response to it. We confess that to you. We ask you to forgive us, and we ask that now by your Spirit, and as we join together and sing, that you would increase that joy in us so that we would well up and have that joy inexpressible and full of glory, and that as we go out into the world and as we interact with one another, that we would express that joy, that it would be infectious, and God, that we would continue all the days of our lives to rejoice in your goodness to us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.